the righteousness of God, baptized into Christ, present suffering and future glory, all themes from the book of Romans. And you can delve deeply into Paul's letter to the Romans with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, the Concordia Commentary on Romans 1 through 8. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Commentary on Romans 1 through 8 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Took me a while to find you.
What do you want?
I need a pilot and your fighting skills.
I'm guessing that wasn't your first choice.
But I'm a big believer in second chances.
Prepare for neural handshake.
Initiating neural handshake in 4.
The drift. Two pilots melding memories with the body of a machine. The deeper the bond, the better you fight.
At the edge of our hope. At the end of our time.
We have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other.
Well, what more could you ask for? Sea monsters and giant robots fighting in the city streets. A little trailer from Pacific Rim, the movie that's out right now. We'll be doing a review of that movie here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 6th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. This is Issues, Etc. After our conversation about our movie review of Pacific Rim, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is going to join us. Time Magazine's cover story talks about having it all without having children, a child-free life. We'll get her reaction to that. Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis will join us. He's written a book called Deadly Consequences, How Cowards Are Pushing Women into Combat. He'll make the case against women in combat for us. And then our pastor's roundtable on this Tuesday afternoon. In Luke chapter 18, the famous parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Pastor Dustin Anderson and Pastor Ryan Fairman will be our guest. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or a comment on the Pharisee and the Tax Collector for our Pastor's Roundtable in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us for movie reviews every other week or so. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that this is not a dumb action movie. There's no shortage of those. What is the strength of this film, Pacific Rim?
I think one of the strengths is behind the film itself, Del Toro, the director, he's done a lot of films, and he has a real sophisticated visual style, and he's really using a lot of that in this film. So, for instance, one of the characters in the film is this Asian lady. She plays a character named Mako Mori, and she has very little lines. A lot of the other characters, they have dialogue and everything. She has very little dialogue, but they tell a lot of the story through her by visual things. So there's an example. The big monsters are like coming out of the sea, so there's a flashback scene for her being a small child when she first experiences this, and she's wearing this blue-colored coat. Well, in her adult version of her that you see in the movie for the most of the film, she has black hair, and then the tips of her hair are dyed this blue color, showing that she's still hanging on to that terrifying experience she had as a child. So kind of smart. The visual sophistication of it is pretty interesting.
Now, it's a style of movie that has its roots in what you note to be kind of mecha anime. What is anime? What is this style of not just films, but of all sorts of media?
Well, it's an Asian art form, and it's been kind of going for quite a while. It has its roots or even further back than this, but really kind of in the 50s, you start getting these various cartoons and comic book kind of stories of these giant robots that are piloted by men and women and go out and they fight against these things, well, either each other or big monsters and stuff, and it's rooted in kind of Asian culture. So it's been around a long time, and maybe if you grew up in the 70s, you might have known like Voltron, or there's different kinds of iterations of this over time. But yeah, you have a whole different take on things because it has this kind of Asian feel to it.
You make a connection between some famous passages, I believe, from the book of Job, and Kaiju, the sea monster of this film. What's that connection? And is it something that's explicit in the film?
It's kind of buried in the film. They don't like specifically refer to the Kaiju as a Leviathan, but Leviathan is it's an aquatic sea monster that's mentioned in Job, and has some similar things. So, you know, I'm watching the movie and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is like Job 41, kind of this description, and God's asking Job, can you draw Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose? And all of these are like rhetorical questions to which Job has to answer no, because Job can't do these things. And he's asked these questions out of the whirlwind by God. And I guess the moment that it kind of twigged is there was a spot in the film where Riley, one of the characters, he is doing a voiceover, and he's talking about the hurricane coming and that it's an act of God and that you have to step out of the way, except if you're wearing one of these giant machines, these Jaegers, then you can win against the hurricane. And then he just goes on to lose right then. But you get that, you know, he's going out to fight the big monster. So it, in a way, it's almost like that question that's being asked, you know, can you do this? And Job has to answer no. Well, this film wants to go and say, yes, you can. Like, men can do this. We can face whatever obstacle is in front of us and succeed. And there, you know, it may be hard. We have to work together, but we can do this. It really has this sense of optimism to it, and that optimism is not always something you see in a lot of current films today.
So, how would you describe the worldview of Pacific Rim?
Well, there is a specific word for it, actually, and it's modernist, right? Like, we live in this postmodernist period, and it kind of deconstructs the idea of the modernist point of view. But there's this, I guess you could call it also secular humanism. Like, these are the big, fancy technical names for these things. But it's this idea that there really isn't a God, that you live in a material world, you have to deal with the material world. The best way to do that is to work together. Anything that hampers working together is counterproductive. And mankind in their ingenuity can win the day. Humanity can rise up and deal with whatever gets thrown at them.
Those are the kind of films, whether they're, you know, high-tech monster films like this one or otherwise, that are generally called feel-good films, whatever their genre may be. What are your pastoral cautions about that worldview as kind of temporally inspiring as they may be? What's your pastoral caution there?
Well, I guess the main thing would be that, in order for it to have good drama, like, it sets itself up as being, we're winning the day, we're doing great. And then, of course, they have a setback. But by the end of it, they've again won the day, and they've decidedly won it. They'll probably make another one because it's made some money and it's kind of a neat concept. But I think the real danger there is not being realistic about the real troubles people have in their life. That sometimes, you know, just stick-to-itiveness, you know, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, that kind of stuff, isn't going to actually do it. And what happens when the problem is too much to bear? Now, it's, again, asking maybe more than you should ask of this kind of movie, but that's the worldview that it presents, is one where you can't turn to God for help because there is no God to turn to. And I think that that might be the pastoral concern, that as a Christian watching it, you do know where you can turn if it's a hurricane, a monster, a gigantic thing that you cannot deal with. You can turn to God for strength. But if you don't have a God to turn to, that would be a pastoral concern. So maybe if you're a Christian and you're going to this movie with somebody who isn't, and you find at some point in their life that they're just crushed by some insurmountable thing that's occurred that may as well be a kaiju coming out of the ocean to destroy them, that don't forget to give them the where you can actually turn for help, for more help than just a giant mechanized suit, help that comes from God. Now, that would really be hard for the hardcore modernist or even the postmodernist to always take to hear that, because if they've dismissed the idea of the supernatural, then it's going to be hard for them to hear that, no, you could actually turn to something that exists in the supernatural that crosses over into present in the person of Christ Jesus.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. You can read Pastor Giese's excellent reviews and his review of Pacific Rim at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much for your time, and thanks for your review.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. You saw the Time magazine cover story, Having It All Without Having Children by Lauren Sandler. At times a celebration of women who have decided to go childless and pursue more important things than motherhood. I imagine that strikes a chord, perhaps a minor chord, with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute. We will find out for ourselves right after this. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, etc.
This new world was supposed to make women happy, because 50 years ago, everybody knows that women were oppressed, miserable, kept in their homes in cages, wanted something different than they had, and feminism came along to free them.
Suzanne Venker speaking at this year's Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
And 40 years later, here's what we have. According to a 2007 report from the National Bureau of Economic Research, quote, as women have gained more freedom, more education, and more power, they have become less happy.
You can listen to Suzanne Venker's presentation, Making the Case Against Feminism, on our new audio DVD from the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.